for those that have been part of our Bible study group on Wednesdays, you know that we've been studying in the book of Romans, I think for the last at least 2 months, I'm not sure, but Wednesday night we finally got to the 8th chapter, and it was a wonderful study that we had, and Romans chapter 8 has been preached on by the Primitive Baptist probably as much as any text in the Bible, but I'm not particularly interested in going through that particular chapter verse by verse, but I want this morning to, as old brother George Walker used to say, I want to come in through the back door this morning to this text. So and you may think it's strange that, but we want to end up over there in that chapter sometime. But I want you to, if you have your scriptures this morning, turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. This is a very wonderful chapter. We've heard a lot of sermons preached on the first three verses, of course, but I want to read down through I want to read down through verse 10. If we get through that, then we'll be doing well this morning. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, there is some, we don't have any trouble with the first three verses, but when we start reading and thinking about, it says, whosoever is born of God, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That's the point I want us to think about for a little bit. Now, when you think about Romans chapter 7, we know what it says, right? It says, the Apostle Paul said, I find within me two laws, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. How to perform that which is good, I find not. He said, I confess this, no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And he cries out to God, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And he says, I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes from that verse right into Romans 8, where he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, to those who walk not according to the flesh. I'm going to have to go read that real quickly. I should be able to quote that as much as I've read it. But I want us to see the principle that sort. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The key word there is in Christ Jesus. Those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now then, I read that, so I want you to see the principles that set forth. The scriptures teach us, the apostle Paul says that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, what the question I want you to think about, is there a contradiction in the book? I want you to pay attention. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Are you born of God? You say, well, I think I am. Well, it says there that you don't commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him. Now notice this next part. He cannot sin. He cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, how do we get that together with the second chapter of this same book, when we read, if I can get the right place, maybe it's the first, yeah, it's the first chapter. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with him, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanses us from all sin. Here's the verse. If we say that we have no sin, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Now, is John two chapters later contradicting that? It says, the verse we just read says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. But he just said that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So how do we get these verses together? I mean, this is very confusing. You need to understand what he talks about. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, I want to back up a little now and get the verses here. Little children, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. We don't do righteousness in order to become righteous. We do righteousness because we are righteous. The point here is that the righteousness is the word righteousness is that means that we have been declared to be righteous. And when the Spirit of God comes into our heart, when we're born to the Spirit of God by the sovereign grace of God, there is an application of the blood of Jesus Christ applied to us, and that there is no condemnation. That's what he means in Romans 8. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because Jesus has fulfilled the law in our place. Now, this is to me, is what this verse, there's two or three applications that people have brought upon this verse. He said, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. What, do you sin? I could bring the conclusion right here, and I've talked to people in various religious orders that tells, I mean, there's some that say, well, I haven't sinned since the day I was born again, because the Bible says I cannot sin. Well, then you've made, it says here, if you say that you have no sin, you deceive yourself. And you've made God a liar. So what do we do with these verses? He that committeth sin is of the devil. Are you of the devil? You commit sin. The Bible says that there's not a man upon this earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We're all sinners. But it says here, if you sin, you're of the devil. Does that is John here telling us that we're of the devil? For the devil sinneth from the beginning. He's the author of sin. He started it all in the garden. And we know from Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we have to define in what sense This is what I want you to see. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. In what sense, in what way do we not sin? Both, all of these scriptures are true. They've got to be because they're inspired of God. And he's not going to tell you over in one verse if you say you have not sinned, then you're a liar. But here he says in verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. But when we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, all things are become new. There is a sense, but I don't think this is the primary application to this, but there's a sense in which that which is inside of us, that which is born of God, we know that there is something inside of you right now, that which is in the soul of you, when you're born of the Spirit of God, when you're quickened by His Spirit, there is something inside of you that's called a new creature. And it's born of God. It's created in righteousness and true holiness. It's created in Christ Jesus. He says there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he said, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. We were created in Him. So there's something inside of us, that inward man, that does not sin. But that's not, I don't believe, is what this verse is speaking of. Now, I've heard that application. If that's the way you want to apply that, that's okay with me. Because it's true. It's a true statement. But I don't think that's the primary application. So what I want us to consider is, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There is, and I believe that he's speaking here from this standpoint, that if you are born of God, if the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed for you, and you are one of His chosen elect, well, according to Ephesians 1, it says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, the question is, did Jesus, when He came to do the will of His Father, He said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all that He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And when John the Baptist came into the world, he says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Those who Jesus died for, they have no sin. I want that to sink in a little bit. From a legal, positional standpoint, we stand before God. We could, I mean, if we had to go before the tribunal of God today, and we were stand before them, and it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we know that. But if we were to stand before God today, we have an advocate called the Jesus Christ, and He is there pleading our case. He would say, Father, that is one of those that I died for. You cannot charge somebody with double jeopardy. Jesus died in our place. Therefore, God the Father is not going to charge us for what Jesus died for. We have no sin. Our sins was laid upon Him. They were imputed to Him. You have the word imputation. It's a very interesting word, but when we look at Isaiah chapter 64, it says, we have no righteousness. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There is none righteous, no, not one. Well, how can we claim the righteousness of God? It says, he that doeth righteousness is righteous. Do you do righteousness? Well, you see, the evidences of being a child of God are overwhelming. In this chapter, when the scripture says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Then you're born of God. You have been born of God if you believe that. Therefore, you are righteous before the throne of God. Now that's what, to me, this chapter, it said, he that committeth sin is of the devil. There is no way that you, as somebody who has been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, there's nothing that you can do that will put you back under the law of sin and death. You cannot do that. You can't sin there anymore. There's no way that you, then that's the only sense in which we do not commit sin. We do not commit sin because we have been born of God. We do not commit sin because we have been made partakers of His divine nature. We are His by covenant, first of all. Remember in Galatians chapter 4, wonderful chapter, wonderful verse. He says, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We read about adoption in Romans 8. He said that we may receive the adoption of sons. And because, now notice this verse, and because you are sons. In what sense are you already a son? You're a son before the Spirit comes into your heart. Because he said, because you are sons, because you already are sons, He sends forth the Spirit into your heart, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We don't cry. You'll never find a baby crying if he was stillborn. But the reason the baby cries is not in order to get life, but because he has life. The greatest news that there is for a mother is when they can hear that baby cry. When we are born of the Spirit of Almighty God, there's something inside of us that cries out, "Oh God, have mercy upon me." There is no conviction for sin to those who are not children of God. And this is why he says here, he says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, I want you to see the purpose of God. What was it? What was God's purpose? What did he come for? It says, and we love that Matthew 1 and 21, it says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. Did he do the job? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves. He said, he shall save his people from their sins. And brothers and sisters, if he did, then you cannot go back and sin under that law anymore. We're no longer under the law. Now, I read this illustration. Here a while back, it says, let's suppose that there is a man that's born in England, in Britain, and he lives there for a while. He has citizenship there, but he decides he wants to move to the United States. So he moves to the United States, and he lives here, and he applies for citizenship, and he becomes a citizen of the United States. Now, he is a citizen of Britain, and he's a citizen of the United States. He's living in the United States, so he's no longer under the law of Britain. He's under the law of the United States. He's under the law of this country. He's under, and there is very similar laws in England and in the United States. But brothers and sisters, if you commit murder in the United States, they're not going to take you back to England to try you. They're going to try you under the law of the United States. And so when you look at this from the standpoint that we have been made free, we're set free from the law of sin and death. There is no way, brethren, that we can go back under the law. Before we were born to the Spirit of God, we were under the law of Moses. We're under the law of sin and death. And it says, the soul that sins shall die. Now, we know we're sinners. If you say that you have not sinned, you're a liar. I didn't say that, John did. So when you look at that from this standpoint, brethren, in what way, in what sense, can we not commit sin? It said, now, Brother Tom, I want you to get the language. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Get it? For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. He cannot. Impossible. Do we know what impossible is? He cannot sin again under that law. Now then, this is the principle that I want us to look at this morning. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon me. It was the motivating force for everything that God did was love. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him, you know, there's people that put that on banners all over the stadiums and so forth. There's no condition in that chapter, in that verse. It said, for God so loved the world. That's a statement of fact. That he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him to his people. He didn't give him to these people that's of the devil. Jesus didn't die for those people. You say, well, how do you know? I said, well, it tells me right here. That's what he said. That's how I know. It says, now notice, in this the children of God are manifested. Read verse 10. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. There's two classes of people here. Do you get it? Do you understand that? That there's two classes of people, the children of God and those who are not his children. Jesus died for his children. He did not die. You read Matthew 25. There's some over there on the left hand. He said, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. And you read down through there and you find the evidences. Those are not causes. We read those at Brother Tom, one of our Bible studies here a while back. It says, when I was sick, you came and visited me. And it goes down through all of those verses. Those are acts of righteousness. If you do righteousness, then you are righteous. Because there is none that can do righteousness except God give you his righteousness. So when we're born to the Spirit of God, brethren, Jesus, all of our sins was laid upon him. God charged him with our sins. And on the other side of that coin, God charged, he took the righteousness of Jesus Christ and imputed it unto us. So now, with that backdrop, I want to take some more script. I want to go back over to the same writer in John chapter 4. No, I'm sorry, John chapter 5. Now, remember Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Got it? What is condemnation? Can I tell you that condemnation is the opposite of justification? The word justified means to declare righteous. The word condemnation or condemned means to declare guilty. When we stand before the judgment throne of God, now we stand every single day before the judgment seat of Christ. And that was the point I was going to make about the two guys, the guy that came. When we were under the law, we were bound to do the law. That's what Romans 7's about, Brother Mark. That's what Romans 7's. He said, if their husband be dead, you're free. You should be met. The law is dead. That husband's dead. Therefore, he says, you should be married to another. Even unto Christ. Before we were under the law of Moses. Now then we're under the parental law of Jesus Christ. When we sin, we don't sin under that law anymore. We sin against, and that's why he said, if any man confess your sins. Yes, we sin. We foul up every day. But brothers and sisters, every sin that you ever committed, from past, present, and future, is laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore it in his body on the tree, and it is forever removed. And if you don't get anything out of that, remember, brothers and sisters, if you're in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation in you. Now listen to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in John chapter 5. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, listen, he that heareth my words, that is a present tense. The word heareth, just like the word believeth in John 3:16, we could read it, whosoever is believing in Jesus Christ is born of God. The word, when you have the word ETH on the end of those verses, there's a lot of verses, believeth, heareth, walketh, and all those different words, those are present tense participles. What they mean is it's a continuing action that's going. It's an action that's going on right now and will continue in the future. Well, listen, he that is hearing my word, he that heareth my word and believeth. You see the word heareth and believeth in that text. He that is hearing my word and is believing. That's what the literal application. He that is hearing my word and he that is believing on him that sent me hath, past tense. Do you get it? If you're hearing his word and you're believing in his son, you have everlasting life. You have it. H-A-T-H. That's past tense. If you have this thing, you hath. you have everlasting life and shall not come. Listen to the words of our Savior. And shall not come into condemnation. Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed. You are passed from death in sin to life in Jesus Christ. You have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, if that doesn't make you shout and happy, I want you to see about what Jesus said in this same thing. Oh, how long does it take for us to get on the other side of everlasting? How long is never? I mean, there's people that will tell you, well, yes, I have when I worked at Tinker Air Force Base, I had every shade religion in the world that I could think of, from all the way from I'm not going to name them, but believe me, I could preach their doctrine. Our neighbor's right down the street. Not going to name them either, but they're just right down here. They believe that you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. I heard that one of their preachers say, well, it's like this. You have your ticket. You got your ticket. It ain't punched. You have your ticket, but it hadn't been punched. You have a ticket, but you have to wait until you get over there on the other side and God opens the books and sees if your goodness has outweighed your badness, then He'll punch your ticket and you can go in. Brethren, that's preached by multitudes all over the world. But I'm telling you, it's a lie of the devil. You can take that to the bank. It's not true. Now notice how can that be true? And Jesus writes this in John chapter 10. He said, notice he said, my sheep. Who is that? Those he gave his life for. My sheep hear my voice. Not the voice of the preacher. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. That's one of the greatest fundamental principles. Timothy said, the foundation of God standing sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His. The Lord knows them that are His. And he says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But he says, I know them, and they follow me. Brothers and sisters, every one of God's little children don't follow Him all that they should in discipleship. I, for one, fail. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. That's a commandment. That's not a suggestion. He said, oh, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. Brethren, those are invitations. Do you understand the difference between an invitation and a summons? Jesus said, I know them and they follow me. Every single one that he gave, that God the Father gave to him in the covenant before the foundation of the world, they will follow him in regeneration. Now notice, I love this verse. I give unto them eternal life. I wish we could just grab a hold of the wonderful meaning of that. Eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. What that means is, you shall never die. Oh, you say, well, Brother Allen, I've heard that before. There was a guy that told me that that when you take of the communion, it says, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood shall never die. And he said, I'm not going to die. Well, that don't mean physically. Every one of us still have the curse of Adam upon this old nature. And we're going to die. Unless Jesus comes back. Now, there's only one way we're going to escape that. It says, if we're alive and remain when the Lord comes, we're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. But, brethren, until that time comes, we've had several funerals here this month. What caused them people to die? Sin. What causes little babies to die? You say, well, wait a minute now. Little babies are not sinners. They may not be sinners by nature, by practice, but they are sinners by nature. If they have an earthly father and an earthly mother, they have the imputation of sin in their nature. If they wasn't sinners, if they was pure, they would never die. Isn't that simple? I heard a guy say, well, that's very simple. Yeah, it's very simple, but it's simply profound too. Notice, I give unto them. This is a gift. Do you understand what a difference between a gift and a reward? Do you? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. This is a gift. You don't get a gift by works. You can't work for a gift. But if it's a reward, then there's something that you had to do in order to earn that. But he says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It is what? Come on. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, and they shall, notice this, and they shall never perish. Never perish. That, you know why? Because there's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no way that you can go back under that old law of sin and death and commit a sin under it. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand, my Father which gave them, pluck them out of my Father's hand, my Father which gave them me. You know, and I preached that one. You notice what it says, Brother Tom? My Father which gave them me. I actually have quoted this. My Father which gave them to me. That's true. We were given to him, but he was given to us. And this verse says, my Father which gave them me. He is our gift from God. He said, unto us a child is given. Unto us a child is, I mean a son is born. Unto us a child is born. Jesus is a gift from the Heavenly Father to us as our sin bearer. My Father which gave them me. Now, if you notice, I mean, this is free. You don't have no charge for this. If you look at the word them in the King James Version, it's in italics. That was supplied for clarity. But you could read that without the them, and my Father which gave me. You see that? Yeah, does it make any difference? You say, brother, you're sure splitting hairs. No, we are a gift from God to him, but he is our gift from God. God gave his only begotten Son that we might have eternal life. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, I and my Father are one. You know, one of the tenets of our doctrine is that we believe that all of God's children that was given to him in the covenant of grace, he died for all of those, and not one of them should ever be lost. You can call that the doctrine of preservation. Once saved, always saved. I cannot believe that somebody can believe that Jesus died for you and then he had to lose you. Does that make any sense to you? Now, what kind of God is it that'll die for you and then let you go to hell? There is therefore now no condemnation. Oh, I want you to love that verse as much as I do. Because if we go on down in that chapter, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of death. For what the law could not do, what it could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Yes, the likeness of it. He said, the children having been partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That's what this First John says, Brother Tom. He came. What did Jesus come for? He came to destroy the works of the devil. Did he do it?
The devil doesn't have any authority over you.
Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The only thing that you can, the only thing he can do is lie to you and deceive you. But he cannot take your life. There is nothing that he can do to cause you to take to lose your eternal life. You are born of God, and there is something inside of you right now. At the very time that you give up this ghost, you give up the ghost, when your last breath is breathed, there's something, that inner person, that person that's born of the Spirit of God, is immediately in heaven. It doesn't need any more changing. That inner man doesn't need to be changed, but this body does. Now notice, I'll close with these verses. Now notice verse 10. I skipped a lot. Y'all go back and read this. If Christ be in you, is he? If Christ be in you, and this is a question you need to ask, is he in me? 1 Corinthians 1:27, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's in you. He said, if Christ be in you, the body's dead. Well, you know we're walking around in dead bodies. You say, no, you're not. I am from a legal standpoint. I am from a standpoint of the covenant of God. I have no sin upon me, therefore I have no death. Can you get the hold of that? If you don't have any sin, you don't have any death, because death is sin is what causes you to die. And if Jesus died for your sins, you don't have any sins, therefore you don't have any death. What? Death. Yes, death is what, Brother Tom? Separation. Brother Tom never lets me get away with that. But it's the truth. Death is death in any sense, from any sense of the word. Means a separation. We have what has happened to us? We have been separated from sin. So Ephesians chapter 1 talks about that. He said we have forgiveness of sin. You know what forgiveness is? It means putting away. Putting away. I love that verse over in Psalms 103. It says, he has separated us. There you go, Brother Tom. Separation. That's what that means. He has separated us from our sins. You know what that means? I want you to grab a hold of that beauty of this. He has separated us from our sins. How, in what way? As far as the east is from the west. How far is that? What if it said, he separated us from our sins as far as the north is from the south? You know, Brother Mark and I was talking about this yesterday evening. The people, all they had to do to find out if the earth was round or not, just read the Bible. Magellan proved it was round. I think he knew it was already. But he started at one point, and you go around this earth, and he come back to the same place he started. The point is this. If it had said from the north to the south, you can go up to the North Pole, and there is a point there, a point called due north. Any direction you go from that point, 360 degrees around that point, any point you go from there, you're going south. And eventually, your sins will meet you again. But brethren, if he says from the east to the west, they will never again come back to you. And that's the principle that we want you to see. We were separated from our sins, legally and positionally. We stand before God justified. This is the most awesome doctrine. And it's so misused in the world today. If Christ be in you, the body is separated from sin. Will you take that one, brother? This guy over here is my critic. He'll come up to me and say, I got a bone to pick. I said, well, all right, let's have it. I appreciate all of our deacons. Appreciate the studies that you're doing. Appreciate the love that you have for this church and the dedication that you have. But Brother Tom is especially, he don't let me get away with anything. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. It's because of sin, what does that mean? Because it's been removed. There's no sin. But the Spirit is life. Here's that inner man. Here's that part. Here's that new man, that quickened soul spirit. He said, but the But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What righteousness? The righteousness that has been imputed to us by Jesus Christ. It's life because of His righteousness. We have no righteousness. Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. What was their righteousness? It was self-righteousness, egotistical pride. But we have the righteousness of Christ. But if the Spirit of Him, now this is the part I want you to see, and I'm going to close with this verse. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Go back to the grave. Jesus has been in the grave 3 days and three nights. He came out of the grave. By what power and what authority? If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, does it? I believe that we can find evidence, brothers and sisters, that the Spirit of God, the word dwell is a wonderful word. That means continually living. He has taken up residence in you. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't belong to yourself. You were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You've been bought with a price. He said, if that Spirit dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. When Jesus comes back from the grave, come back on the second time, and He's coming, I hope it's real soon. The world seems like it's getting more evil all the time. But He says, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, that same Spirit shall quicken, that means make alive, your mortal body. We put our bodies of our loved ones in the grave. Corporally, they're dead. But to Jesus Christ, Brother Chris, they're just sleeping. Just asleep. Just like Lazarus. You think Jesus has the power to raise the dead? That's why the Apostle Paul said, why is it such an incredible thing with you that God should raise the dead? Why is it such an incredible thing? You know what the word incredible means? Unbelievable. I can't believe that somebody who's been dead that long can be made alive. Believe it. Believe it, brethren. Believe it. Because he said, when Lazarus was in the grave, he said, Lazarus. He said it with a loud voice. Come forth. And Lazarus came out of the grave. He'd been dead 4 days. Does it make any difference if he'd been 4 days or 4,000, 10,000 years? Is there anything too hard for our God? You see, I've said this, and you know what I'm going to say. I believe if Jesus had not said Lazarus, every grave would open. Come forth. And that's when He comes back the second time, all that are in the grave shall what? Hear His voice. And they shall come forth. By the Spirit that quickened Him, the same Spirit's going to bring us up out of the grave. And it says we're going to ever be with the Lord. But brothers and sisters, I hope that you will consider the things I've tried to present to you this morning. Especially 1 John chapter 3 where it says you cannot sin. You cannot sin. Why? Because you've been born of God and Jesus has freed you from the law of sin and death. It's impossible for you to go back in there and sin again. May the Lord bless you is our prayer this morning. I hope.